Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Amen. And welcome to Southwest Arkansas. Praise God.
On a chilly spring morning.
Yeah, it is. Woo, I'm telling you, it just plumb got cold over the last 2 or 3 days. Of course, by the time you see this, it'll be all warmed up. But, I mean, And everything, springtime.
And I didn't even bring my skis or anything.
Mercy. Springtime in this part of the country is so beautiful. It's just wonderful. Everything comes alive. We've got a family of geese that have moved in, and they just hatched out of 2 or 3 days ago, and the little yellow fuzzy
goslings. You may hear them, too.
And, you know, they're teaching them how to swim, and they're paddling around the pond. It's just wonderful. And we want to share this place with you. We enjoy this with you every year. It's been such a blessing to our family. Gloria was born just, 2 miles up the road here? And
I always was a city girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. Of a town it's got the same, 102 people? And they never changed the sign. I guess the equal amount move in and move out over the years. Father, we thank you today. We give you praise and we honor you today. We honor your word. We honor your name. We honor the blood of Jesus. And we thank you.
Thank you.
Open the windows of heaven are open. Yeah. And we open our hearts and minds to receive revelation from heaven, to receive insight and ideas and concepts about living this life of faith in Jesus, and to know more about you, Lord Jesus. Oh, my. We love you, and we thank you, we honor you, and we ascribe all of the glory, all of the honor for every word that's said and every deed that's done to your matchless name. Thank you. Amen. Glory to God. We are going to be talking about healing. Isn't that good?
Oh, I like healing.
And Gloria has done healing school for almost 40 years. And I'll tell you what, I don't care who it is. Then nobody knows any more about ministering healing than Gloria Jean Copeland.
Well, I appreciate that.
I can tell you that, praise God. I've sat there in healing school and just got healed and received, amen. It's just wonderful.
Praise the Lord.
Now, let's open our Bibles first to the book of Proverbs. All healing, all of it, is from God. God is the one. People say, well, I don't believe in that healing. What's the matter with you? There's healing in your body. Well, I know, but that's natural. Well, who you think put it there? You didn't.
That's right.
God built that in there. He is the healer. Amen. Come on. Amen?
All right,
you're going to learn a lot of things. I want to show you this, though. Healing of the physical body is a process. Now, healing natural, you know there's divine healing, and there's natural healing. But, help me, Lord, to make this clear, please. Let's take the healing of a broken bone. And they set the bone and put it in a cast, and it takes several weeks for that bone to heal. That's a process, right?
Yes, that's right.
Now, that healing process over a period of time. Now, divine healing is when the anointing, the power of God, is released, and that bone is healed over it mends over a period of a week instead of 4 to 6. Well, you know something's happened.
Speed it up.
But it's the same process is what I'm trying to get over to you. Now, let's say you just received a miracle. It's an instantaneous, miraculous healing, which a lot are going, this is going to happen a lot all this week, praise God.
Yes, amen.
It's the same process. It just got sped up to instantaneous. But the healing is the same process. Amen.
Yes, that's right.
Now,
I can see that.
This is the prescription in the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, beginning with verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Now, we're going to see that words play a vital part in this, all the way through in healing. Remember Psalm 107:20, Gloria, where he said he sent his word healed them and delivered them from their destructions? Well, Jesus is the word. He's called the word. He is that word.
How blessed we are to have
Word. Yeah, and there's something I want to mention about this as we go. Attend to my words. Words came first. Incline thine ear to my saying. Well, words don't do you any good if you don't have an ear to hear.
That's right.
And what is that? Let's take quickly Mark 4:23. Hold your place there in Proverbs. And go over to the New Testament, to the book of Mark, chapter 4. And look at the 23rd verse. If any man, now that, do you realize that when the Bible, which is a spiritual book, refers to man, it's not talking about gender, it's talking about mankind?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been a lot of wrong ideas and bad doctrine that came out of that, and it's ignorance that caused it. Well, see, this is only for men. Well, you know, I'm not even going to honor that with much comment, but it's talking about mankind. Now, any person, any man, if any man, any person have ears to hear, let him hear. So, that's not God's choice.
No.
That's our choice. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. We're about to read in Proverbs 4, incline thine ear unto my saying. You don't just open your ear up like a garbage pail and just listen to gossip and all of that. No. You take heed what you hear. With what measure you, METE is Old English for measure, what measure you measure it shall be measured to you. The way you hear it is the way it's going to come back to you.
That's right.
And unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given. He that hath not, from him shall be taken that, even that which he has. Now, it's not God that's taking it. He just got through teaching it. Satan comes immediately to what? Steal the word. My brother and sister, the word of God is the most precious thing on this earth. It's the most powerful thing on this earth. This is a word created universe. Created by the word of God. It is upheld, according to Hebrews chapter 1. It is upheld by the word of his power.
It never loses its power.
No.
Because of that.
Because of that. Now, notice that the scripture says the power of death and life are in the power of the tongue, or in the power of words. You can't change that. That's a spiritual law. However, you can change the words under which you live, and they come out of your own mouth and out of the Bible, the written word of the living God. It's so vitally important. Now notice, unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath has what?
Has
ears to hear.
Ears. These things.
He that hath, he's talking about ears, wasn't he? When he's talking about any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath ears to hear, to him shall be given. And he that hath not ears to hear, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he just got through going through all of this, these verses here, telling us from the 14th to the 20th verses that the sower sows the word and Satan comes immediately to steal it. Now, when we don't let him steal it, praise God, is because we have ears to hear. Shall more be given.
I have on my margin, you know, I've got this margin on here just filled up. The law of receiving is the law of attention.
Oh, that's good, Gloria. Yeah. Well, hey, let's go back over there to 420. That's what he said. That's what he said. That is so good. Listen to this. Go back to that 20th verse of the 4th chapter of Proverbs. My son, attend. Pay attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, don't forget what Romans 10:17 says. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I made note of these scriptures, Gloria, in Luke 5:15 and 6:17. They came to hear and be healed. Now, you know, Gloria, most people have the idea that Jesus just came to town and he just went to healing and he just healed everybody. And he just healed everybody. No, he didn't. He didn't heal everybody. Well, Brother Copeland, put your gun up. He didn't heal everybody. There were those in his hometown that there he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Now, wait a minute. We're on to something here. What did they not believe? The word. He's preached. He took a text in the 61st chapter of Isaiah, and he preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So, what happened? He preached, and they didn't believe it. They said, who does he think he is? I mean, we know him. That's Mary and Joseph's boy. Come in here telling us that, you know, all this.
They didn't pay a
They didn't pay attention.
That's right.
No, they didn't. So now what did he do? What did he do after that? The scripture said he went throughout the whole area, went through their villages teaching. Oh. That's the cure for unbelief, because faith cometh by hearing.
That's right.
And hearing by the word of God. Now, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them before your eyes. Now, back in these days, they only had the written word. But think about what you and I have. Oh, my goodness. You know what I enjoy doing? It's so wonderful now. You can, you know, I've got all these translations in my phone. Now, not all of them are audio, but there's a number of them that are in different translations that someone is reading it. Well, turn on the audio and follow it and read with whomever's reading on the audio in that particular translation. And of course, I use the King James translation from which to preach, and so that's what I listen to. I use other translations to study, but it's so good. You know what? This guy don't daydream. He just keeps on reading, and wait a minute, where is he now?
You can't stop.
No, man. Now, there are times you stop and you make notes and so forth, but there are times you need to just go on and read and listen carefully and read and look. So, amen. Now then, keep them. Don't let them depart from your eyes. When you're reading and meditating and confessing the Word of God, keep them. You ought to go through the healing scriptures every day. And as you do, you begin to see yourself. You meditate on that. By His stripes, ye were healed. Okay. What does that mean now that I'm healed? And I know I'm healed now. Well, you know, healed people ought to be up out of bed this time of day. Well, what am I staying in bed for?
Yeah,
but you got the flu. No, this, that's what this says. This says, by His stripes you were healed. I know, but you're hurting. Yeah, but that don't matter. Now here's the difference, Gloria. And this is where it seems to be difficult. People make it difficult. But when you attend to my word, you put my word first place. When that's final authority in your life, and you read 1 Peter 2:24. And for instance, I enjoyed doing this. First thing out of bed in the morning, I look in the mirror. I go in there in the bathroom, and I look in the mirror, and I look myself right in the eye. Surely, Jesus bore my griefs, my sicknesses, my sorrows, and my pains. Look at myself right in the eye. And I finished quoting that. We did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted, but He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities, and the chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, I am healed. Then I go over to Matthew 8:17, yep, which was in quoting that scripture. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. Then I go to 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus bore my sins. I'm looking at myself right in the eyes. I'm saying it. Jesus Himself bore my sins in His own body on the tree, that I, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed now.
That's right.
Now, that's what God said about it. Now, faith is believing that, instead of believing physical symptoms or anything else. I heard Creflo Dollar say it like this. In fact, I was watching Creflo yesterday. And, my goodness. So plain. He said, now, grace, you know, the scripture says we are saved by grace through faith. It put the grace first and then the faith next. Then we see over in Romans 4:16, it is by faith so that it might be by grace. Now, get this. Creflo said this, and oh my, it just blessed me so. He said, Jesus, grace, Jesus, full of grace and truth, mm-hmm. grace provided my healing 2,000 years ago. Grace provided that. Now, I have to appropriate it by faith.
Grace meaning you didn't do anything to deserve it.
I did. It has nothing to do anything I did or didn't do.
It was grace.
It's just pure grace. Mm-hmm. So what I must do, I must appropriate it by faith and say, that's mine. I take it now. And from this moment, I am healed. And don't get off of it. Don't turn that loose.
That's right.
Don't get over into the yeah buts. Yeah, but I heard. What if? No. All that's a badge of unbelief. Just get over here and stay here. Yeah, but I'm healed. Yeah, but I'm well. Yeah.
And you know, we ought to start doing that when we feel good, not when wait till we get
all
sick.
All the time. That's the reason I'm saying do it every morning, looking in the mirror. Every morning I'm healed. I don't care what your body feels like. And you just keep laying hold of that. As your faith grows, your faith appropriates it. And it comes from the power of God within. It comes from the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. And it doesn't come down on you here. It comes from in here out like that. Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. And this is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer and we get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we thank you. We praise you and give you honor and glory. We worship you, sir. And we thank you for your word.
Thank you.
We thank you for your healing power. In Jesus' name, we receive it today. And we give you the praise and the honor and
thank
the glory
you,
for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Gloria.
Yes, sir.
Healing is good.
Healing is good.
Healing is good.
Healing is the children's bread.
Healing is the children's bread. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
We're talking about healing, and where am I supposed to look, Tim? Over here? Good. Thank you. And let's go back to the fourth chapter of Proverbs again today. I've learned over the years, I heard Brother Hagin say this, and then I, over the last 51 years we've been in the ministry, I've seen this to be true. That the number one problem in receiving healing is it God's will? Is it God's will today? Is it God's will for me?
Or you could say unbelief.
Well, yeah.
Because if you don't know it God's will, you can't believe
it. And you ever notice that people would they say, well, I know God heals, and I'm sure of that. But I just don't know whether he heals everybody or not. Now, somebody that says that, it would be very rare. Now, you and I would say this, but it would be very rare to hear them say, but I'm one of the ones that he does.
If he heals anybody,
yeah. But that doesn't go along with that. That goes along with doubt. I doubt whether it's his will to heal me. It is his will for every living thing to be well.
That's right.
He is the author of wellness. He has absolutely no purpose in you being sick.
That's right.
So let's go to Proverbs chapter 4 once again. And I want you to remind the people again here, Gloria, what you said yesterday. My son, attend to my words. Now, read that again.
My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto...
I'm talking about what you put in your notes over there.
The law of receiving.
Yeah.
Give attention to the word of God is the law of receiving, whether it's finances, whether it's your healing, whatever it is, give attention to the Word of God. Pay attention to it and receive it and take it, knowing it's God talking to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
to God. It has to become a vital part of your thinking, a vital part of your of your daily speech. Amen. So, in other words, my son, put my word first place in your life, or final authority. Now, it looks like this, but you said this.
Verse 21 goes as far to say, let them not depart from your eyes. That's pretty much all the time.
That's all the time, yeah. And keep them in the midst of your heart.
Yeah,
so
that's how you keep it.
I wanted you to see this. They are life.
The word.
Unto those that find them, or unto those that seek them and look at them and believe them and meditate on them
and
say them and put it first place in your life. And health, the cross-reference says, medicine to all their flesh. Now then, has the word changed?
No.
Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is the same yesterday, today,
and
forever.
Yes.
This book is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. His Word, not to become healing to your flesh, would have to lose its power. Yes, but Brother Copeland, now you see, that was a different dispensation. No, it wasn't. Dispensations don't have anything to do with this.
That's right.
This has to do with the Word of God. It hasn't to do with it. Now, there are dispensations. Don't misunderstand me. But healing is in every dispensation.
And God's Word doesn't change.
No.
In any dispensation.
No, neither does Jesus.
That's right.
He's the healer yesterday, he's the healer today, and he'll be the healer tomorrow.
That's right.
Now then, let's talk about, is it God's will?
Did we talk about verse 23? That's so important. About keep your heart, because that's where it is.
Protected.
Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. How do you keep your heart? Attend to the Word of God. Keep that Word going in your eyes, in your ears.
Feed on
it. In your heart.
Was it Matthew 4:4 when Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by
every
word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father? What are the issues of life? Look that word up. It's talking about forces, spiritual forces. Amen. Faith is a spiritual force.
That's right.
Wisdom is a spiritual force. Understanding.
Yeah. And you're going to get that by attending to the Word
to the
of
word.
God and taking it and doing it.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got this out of Keith Moore's book, God's Will.
That is so powerful.
To heal.
I heard you give that the other day.
I'm telling you, and that's, listen.
Thank you, Keith.
You talk about a powerful book. It is just, you get healed just reading that book.
Yeah.
Now, this is what Brother Keith said. Now, let me tell you something about Keith Moore, those of you that are not acquainted with his ministry. He spent 17 years at Brother Hagin's side in healing school at Rhema. And Keith taught it day in, day out. He taught and watched people receive miracles. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. He wrote the song, "The Glory's Here, The Glory's Here. Reach up and take it, it's mine, I take it now." And he wrote that from a miracle that happened in healing school. There was a woman on her way to Mayo Clinic. She had been operated on, And somehow or another, they slipped and slit her esophagus. Mm-hmm. And she had been, it seemed to me like 11 corrective surgeries had been done, and she's on her way to Mayo's. And she hadn't eaten any solid food in months. They just had a feeding tube up her nose. Mm-hmm. Well, when she came in there, they didn't know what the was. She just had this tube up her nose. And Brother Hagin's just teaching on Mark 11, 23 and 24 and 25. Believe you receive when you pray. It's that simple. Just believe that you receive it. And she just went like this.
She took it.
That's all she did. She said, I take it. And Keith wrote that song, The Glory Is Here, I Take It Now. And Brother Hagin's talking about the glory and so forth. She just reached up and did this and pulled that tube out.
Praise God.
Well, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. She came back and gave her testimony. Oh, my. She went across the street. She hasn't eaten anything but liquids in months. Bunch of months. I don't remember how long. Several months. She hadn't had anything but liquid. She went across the street to a Mexican restaurant. I think it's I don't remember the name of it. Monterey House. Went right straight across the street, ate two Mexican dinners. Came in there, and Brother Hagin said, boy, she must have been healed.
And lived to tell
about it. And was just healed and well and just thrilled to come back over there, you know, praising God after eating two Mexican dinners. Hallelujah. But that's how simple it is. She just believed what Brother Hagin was teaching.
Acted on it.
She just reached him and said, I take it now. It's mine. I take it now. But
that's
now,
she
did that after hearing the word. Now, that's the environment which Keith Moore ministered 17 years. You'd think a man would know something about healing, wouldn't you? Yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Now, Keith said, how do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did he say about it?
Right.
Remember that God is no respecter of persons. And he never changes. So what he said to them yesterday, he is saying to you today. God's word is God speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe, obey, and so forth. What did God say? 101 things God said. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus 15:26. Your days shall be 120 years. Genesis 6:3. You shall be buried in a good old age, Genesis 15, 15. You shall come to your grave in a full age, as a shock of corn cometh in his season, Job 5, 26. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy
Praise
you,
God.
Exodus 12, 13. I'll take sickness from the midst of you, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Exodus 23, 25, and 26. I quote that scripture almost every day. Now, the others that I just said earlier, I quote every day. But standing there in front of the mirror, oh, he's taking sickness from the midst
That's
of me,
right.
And the length of my days he'll fulfill.
Praise God.
What are the lengths of my days? 120 years. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I will not put any of the diseases you're afraid of on you, but I'll take all sickness away from you. Deuteronomy 7:15. It'll be well with you, and your days shall be multiplied and prolonged as the days of heaven on the earth. Deuteronomy 11:9-21. I turned the curse into a blessing unto you because I love you. Deuteronomy 23:5 and Nehemiah 13:2.
You know, Ken, that's a great scripture on prolong. The number of your days I will prolong. That means add to it. That
yeah.
means longer.
It means it's not anti, it's pro. It's pro for long life. Mm-hmm. God, 120 years is the only lifespan that God put, that God said and put in the Word. That 70 or 80 was a curse that came on the Israelites in the wilderness yeah. because of disobedience. And they said, we're going to die in the desert. They kept saying it. Well, what is God going to do? They kept saying it. They didn't say what he said. They kept saying what they said. And there are spiritual laws involved there. It had to come to pass.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. That's good.
I have redeemed you from every sickness and every plague.
Deuteronomy 28:61
and Galatians 3:13. As your days, so shall your strength be. I like that one. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 33:25. I have found a ransom for you. Your flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and you shall return to the days of your youth. Job 33:24-25. I have healed you and brought up your soul from the grave. I've kept you alive from going down into the pit. Mm. Psalm 31:2. I'll give you strength and bless you with peace. Whoa. I'll give you strength and bless you with peace. Psalm 29:11. I'll preserve you and keep you alive. Psalm 41:2.
What scriptures? Hallelujah.
I will strengthen you upon the bed of languishing. I will turn all your bed in your sickness. Psalm 41:3. I am the health of your countenance and your God. Psalm 43:5. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. Psalm 91:10. Whoa, that's good. No plague. No plague.
And no plague will come nigh your dwelling. That means you're down under. I mean, you've gotten weak. It's had an effect on you already.
The way I understand it in the Hebrew, it's long-term sickness.
Yeah.
Languishing in sickness and disease.
So don't quit believing God.
I will satisfy you with long life. Psalm 91:16. I heal all your diseases. Psalm 103:3. I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. Psalm 107:20. You shall not die, but live and declare my works. Psalm 118:7. I heal your broken heart and bind up your wounds. Psalm 147:3. The years of your life shall be many. Proverbs 4:10. Trusting me brings health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Glory to God. Hey, that stops osteoporosis
right
there. That stops it right there. Listen to that. Trusting me brings health to your navel and marrow to your bones. That gets rid of leukemia.
I think navel stands for your inward part.
Oh, yeah. It's all of your vital organs.
Yeah.
And,
praise God.
Where was I now? My words are life to you and health and medicine to all your flesh. Proverbs 4:22. My good report makes your bones fat. Proverbs 15:30. My pleasant words are sweet to your soul and health to your bones. Boy, there's a bunch of bone scriptures right there. You have anything wrong with your bones? Grab it, darling. Take it. Say, that's mine. I take it now. God's safe. God is talking to you. His word is speaking to you. My pleasant words are sweet to your soul and health to your bones. Proverbs 16:24. My joy is your strength. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Just start laughing right now.
I think you could say a sad heart, a sad countenance.
It's
sorrow.
Just depression.
It's just the opposite.
Sorrow and depression. But then he bore our sorrows and griefs. So there's no use in being that way.
No, that's right.
The eyes of the blind shall be opened. the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, Isaiah 32:3 and 35:5.
Amen.
The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken, Isaiah 32:3 and 35:5. The tongue of the dumb shall sing, the tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly, Isaiah 35:6 and 32:4. The lame man shall leap as a hart or a deer, Isaiah 35:6. I will recover you and make you to live. I'm ready to save you, Isaiah 38:16 and 20. I give power to the faint. I increase strength to them that have no might, Isaiah 40:29. I will renew your strength. I will strengthen and help you, Isaiah 40:31, 41:10. To your old age and gray hairs I'll carry you, and I will deliver you, Isaiah 46:4. I bore your sicknesses, Isaiah 53:4. I carried your pains, Isaiah 53:4. I was put to sickness for you, Isaiah 53:10. With my stripes you are healed, Isaiah 53:5. I will heal you, Isaiah 57:19. You know, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Amen. Well, so far that's 42.
42 witnesses.
Your light shall break forth as the morning, and your health shall spring forth speedily, Isaiah 58:8. I will restore health unto you, and I'll heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord, Jeremiah 30:17. Behold, I'll bring the city health and cure, and I'll cure you and reveal unto you the abundance of peace and truth. I'll bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick, Ezekiel 34:16. Behold, I'll cause breath to enter into you and you will live, and I'll put my spirit in you and you will live, Ezekiel 37:5 and 14. Whithersoever the river shall come shall live, and they'll be healed, and everything shall live where the river comes.
Praise
Ezekiel 47:9. Seek me and you shall live. Amos 5:4-6. I have arisen with healing in my wings. Malachi 4:2. Praise God.
Praise God.
And we just now got to the New Testament.
Was the scripture in there about rivers of living water?
That's New Testament.
New Testament.
Those were all Old Testament.
I can have the New Testament.
Amen.
I can have both.
Well, let me get what I can in here in this last minute. I will be thou clean, Matthew 8:3. I took your infirmities, Matthew 8:17. I bore your sicknesses, Matthew 8:17. If you're sick, you need a physician. I am the Lord your physician.
Yes, amen.
Matthew 9:12 and Exodus 15:26. I moved with compassion toward the sick and I healed them, Matthew 14:14. I heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, Matthew 4:23. According to your faith, be it done unto you, Matthew 9:29. I give you power and authority over all unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, Matthew 10:1 and Luke 9. I heal them all, Matthew 12:15 and Hebrew 13:8. As many as touch me are made perfectly whole, Matthew 14:36. Healing is the children's bread, Matthew 15:26. Glory to God, hallelujah, and Jesus is Lord.
Yes, you did it, you did it.
Father, we thank you and we praise you for this wonderful place. You've blessed us and it's been so wonderful over the years for our family, and we share it with our partners and with our TV audience. We pray over this broadcast today for the healing of the people.
Yes.
To be like you, Lord Jesus, to teach, preach, and to heal. And we thank you and we praise you today. You are our healer. And we worship you today. We open the eyes of our hearts and the ears of our heart to receive revelation from heaven. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's go again to the book of Proverbs chapter 4. This is the Bible prescription for receiving healing. My son, attend to my words. Now, notice words are first. Words are always first because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God in Romans 10:17. And I mentioned this yesterday, but it's important that I read it to you again today. In Luke 5:15 and Luke 6:17, they came to hear him and be healed. The hearing came first. Faith cometh by hearing. It's so important that faith comes. Words are first. People are saved by the hearing and believing of God's words. Very, very important. And like Gloria said yesterday, the law of attention is vital. This is what he's saying here. Attend to my word. Put my word first place in your life. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they, my words, God's words, are life. Jesus said in John 6:63, he said, my words are spirit and they are life. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
People say, well, you know, yes, I believe, you know, I believe in the word, but I just don't believe the healing's for us today. Well, life is for us today. Well, oh yes, of course I believe in life, but I don't believe it. Hey, come on now. Come on now. The life of God is the healing force.
That's right.
His life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. They are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Life and health to all your flesh. Glory to God. Now, yesterday, I read from Keith Moore's dynamite book, God's Will to Heal. I'll tell you, Keith goes through 35 biblical reasons we know that it's God's will to heal
today.
That's
so powerful, isn't it?
Oh, I tell you. And I told you yesterday, and for those that maybe don't are not acquainted with Keith Moore's ministry, you need to be. And he spent 17 years teaching in Brother Hagin's healing school at Rhema Bible Training Center. Amen. Miracles? Oh,
praise
just
God.
Outstanding, thrilling, wonderful miracles. Now, yesterday, we read from, I got this out of the back of healing, of Keith Moore's book, God's Will to Heal. And these statements are taken directly from the Bible, little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe, if you obey, and so forth. What did God's word say? Now, yesterday, we read through all 50 from, hang
got
on.
Got a little wind there.
Yeah. Peace. Be still. We read all 50 from the Old Covenant, and then we began reading in the New. I'm gonna start with the New Testament today, and we're going to read all of these. Now, this, oh, You see how beat up my copy is? That's because I read it to myself. New Testament. I will be thou clean, Matthew 8:3. I took your infirmities, Matthew 8:17. I bore your sicknesses, Matthew 8:17. If you're sick, you need a physician. I am the Lord, your physician. Matthew 9:12 and Exodus 15:26. I am moved with compassion toward the sick and I heal them. Matthew 14:14. I heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 4:23. According to your faith, be it unto you. Matthew 9:29. I give you power and authority over all unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Matthew 10:1 and Luke 9:1. I heal them all. Matthew 12:15 and Hebrews 13:8. As many as touch me are made perfectly whole. Matthew 14:36. Healing is the children's bread. Matthew 15:26. I do all things well. I make the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Matthew 7:37. If you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Mark 9:23 and 11:23 and 24. When hands are laid on you, you shall recover. Mark 16:18. My anointing heals the brokenhearted and delivers the captive, recovers the sight to the blind, and sets at liberty those that are bruised. Luke 4:18, Isaiah 10:27, 61:1. I heal all those who have need of healing. Isn't that wonderful? Luke 9:11. I'm not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9:56. Behold, I give you authority over all the enemy's power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Sickness is satanic bondage, and you ought to be loosed today. Luke 13:16, 2 Corinthians 6:2. In me is life. John 1:4. I am the bread of life. I give you life. John 6:33 and 35. The words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are life. Now that reminds me of Deuteronomy 30:19. I place before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, you choose life that you and your seed may live. Now this is, I want to use that to point something out. God's done his part. He sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus died, went to hell. He was made a curse for us, raised from the dead with complete and total authority over the devil, and invested in his powerful name, all that he is, all that he ever was, and all that he'll ever be. Hallelujah. And he received the power and authority in that name after he was raised from the dead. So he's in heaven. He didn't have any use for the name there. It was given to us as a mighty weapon of power. Hallelujah. Praise against God. The devil and everything he stands for.
In my name, cast him out.
Glory to God. Now, I am not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9:56. I'm not through with that yet. We have something to do with this. We have to make the choice. We have to believe we receive. I heard Creflo put it like this. We have to appropriate by faith what grace has already provided. It's been done. But faith has to appropriate it.
Take it.
You have to take it. As far as God is concerned, the moment Jesus was raised from the dead, came in before him in the heavenlies and secured, obtained eternal redemption for us with his precious blood. Hallelujah. Once that took place, as far as God is concerned, salvation is for every man and woman, boy or girl that'll accept it. But it has to be accepted.
That's right.
It's not just, well, everybody can be saved now. We'll just all go to heaven. No, you ain't all going to heaven. Not unless you receive what Jesus has done. Well, we can just all be healed now. Well, yeah, we can. But you have to appropriate it. You have to take it by faith.
That's right.
Amen. I'm not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Behold, I give you authority over all the enemy's power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Sickness is satanic bondage, and you ought to be loose today. In me is life. I'm the bread of life. The words I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. I'm come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly, John 10:10. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it, John 14:14. Faith in my name makes you strong and gives you perfect soundness, Acts 3:16. I stretch forth my hand to heal, Acts 4:30. I, Jesus Christ, make you whole, Acts 9:34. I do good and heal all that are oppressed of the devil, Acts 10:38. My power causes diseases to depart from you, Acts 19:12. The law of the Spirit of life in me has made you free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8:2. The same Spirit that raised me from the dead now lives in you, and that same Spirit will quicken your mortal body. Amen. Your mortal body. This is not just some kind of spiritual healing. No, he said your mortal body. He'll quicken your mortal body. He'll make alive your mortal body. The life force of God drives out sickness and disease. Right. We just got through reading. The law of the Spirit of
life
has made me free from the law of sin and
death.
Sickness is part of sin and death.
Yeah.
Sickness came because of sin. That's what it is.
And death came because of sickness.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
Well, and the other way around,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Death, well, actually, when you think about it, the death came. God told Adam, in the day you sin, the day you eat that tree, of that tree you die. That's spiritual death. The curse is threefold. Jesus was made a curse for us, for it's written, curse is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing, or redemption, of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. The curse is threefold. Spiritual death, that's being separated from God. There's scriptures about you dead in your sins.
Yeah.
The curse is threefold. Spiritual death, sickness, and poverty. Redemption is threefold. Thank God for the Redeemer.
Oh, my.
Redeemed from spiritual death is what? Life.
Yeah, eternal life.
Life, eternal life. Now, that word life, let's talk about that a minute. The Greek word translated salvation. It's translated life. It's translated salvation, healing, deliverance from calamities. Amen. Hallelujah. Healing belongs to the body of Christ.
That's right.
It actually belongs to the world, because Jesus is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is God's gift to the church, the body of Christ. All right. This number 78, I don't know, this just came out of my mouth the first time I read it. And every time I do it, it still comes. I, Jesus Christ, make you whole. I, Kenneth Copeland, receive it now.
Yes, amen.
I do good and heal all oppressed of the devil. My power causes diseases to depart from you, Acts 19:12. And where was I? I read that. The same Spirit raised me from the dead lives in you, and that Spirit will quicken your mortal body. Your body is a member of me, 1 Corinthians 6:15. Your body is the temple of my Spirit, and you're to glorify me in your body, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. If you will rightly discern my body, which was broken for you, and judge yourself, you'll not be judged, you'll not be weak, you'll not be sickly or die prematurely. 1 Corinthians 9:29-31. I have set gifts of healings in my body, 1 Corinthians 12:9. My life may be manifest in your mortal flesh, 2 Corinthians 4:9-11.
It said that. You left out that. That my life. That makes a difference.
Yeah, it does. Thank you. Now, where was I?
Sorry.
That my life may be manifest in your mortal flesh. I have delivered you from death, that woman thou hast given me. Thank you so much. She is a treasure to me, sir. I have delivered you from death. I do deliver you. If you trust me, I will yet deliver you.
Right.
2 Corinthians 1:10. I have given you my name and have put all things under your feet. Ephesians 1, 21 and 22. I want it to be well with you, and I want you to live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 3. I have delivered you from the authority of darkness. Colossians 1, 13. I will deliver you from every evil work. 2 Timothy 4, 18. I tasted death for you. I destroyed the devil who had the power of death. I delivered you from the fear of death and bondage. Hebrews 2, 9, 14, and 15. I wash your body with pure water.
Praise God.
Hebrews 10, 22 and Ephesians 5, 26. Lift up your weak hand and feeble knees. Don't let that which is lame be turned aside, but rather let me heal it. Hebrews 12 and 13. Let the elders anoint you and pray for you in my name, and I'll raise you up. James 5, 14 and 15. Pray for one another and I'll heal you. James 5, 16. By my stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2, 24. My divine power has given unto you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of me. 2 Peter 1, 3. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, 12. Beloved, I wish, or that's in the Greek text, it's pray. I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health.
I receive it.
Even as your soul prospers.
Praise God.
That's
powerful.
What Jesus is saying to you about your healing. It belongs to you. It's not that he has to come and give it to you. It's yours.
You have to take it.
Yeah, but you have to receive it. Amen. You have to take it. And like Gloria said one time, if somebody gives you a present, you can't just stand there and look at it. You have to take it.
Right.
You have to receive it.
If you want it.
And Mark 11, 24, whatsoever thing you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it and you shall have it. That word receive is take.
That's right.
Amen.
In the Greek.
Take it. It's mine. I take it. Yes. The six eyes of faith. I believe I will. I take it. I have it. I thank you for it, and I forgive if I have
Amen.
Aught against any.
That'll work. That'll
Glory
work.
Glory to God. Let's have a word of prayer. We get right into our healing scripture
Praise
lesson
God.
Today. I said that very slowly. I want you to be prepared. I want you to be thinking about it as we pray. Healing belongs to you. Jesus bought and paid for it 2,000 years ago. Grace provided it. Faith takes it. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's
Woo,
great.
That'll preach right there, won't
yeah,
it?
I'm
In fact,
write
that's
that
what
down.
I'm going to preach. Lord, we thank you and praise you that we're healed. We thank you and praise you that we're saved. We thank you and praise you that you baptized us with the Holy Ghost. We thank you and praise you we have a supernatural means
praise.
Of communicating with you in other tongues. I pray, whoa, glory to God. Glory to God. Somebody just got healed of a bad valve in your heart.
Praise God.
Okay,
thank you.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the healing word of God.
Yes.
And we receive healing all throughout this radio and television audience today. In Jesus' name, and we give praise and honor and glory to you, Lord
yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Let's open our Bibles once again to Proverbs chapter 4. This is the healing prescription. I heard Gloria say one time, now, if you take this three times a day and you still got the symptoms, double the dose.
That's right.
You can't overdose on
no,
this
you
one.
Can.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Verse 20.
That's
My son, attend to my words. Now, again today, I want us to notice that in receiving anything from God, it always begins with the word and winds up with our words. Our words must match God's word. Amen. Or our words will nullify the life power in God's word. Amen. It'll contaminate it with doubt and unbelief.
Yes.
Or fear. You remember when Jairus, Jesus and Jairus were headed towards his house. And right on the way, someone from his house came and said, your little daughter has died, so, you know, it's over. Don't bother.
Trouble the master.
Don't trouble the master anymore. But Jesus was the one that answered. Now listen how he answered. In all of the different things he could have said, now hold fast to your faith. Now be strong in your faith. What did he deal with? He dealt with fear. He said, fear not.
Fear not.
Or literally, stop the fear. Believe only, she will be made whole. Now you can apply that to you today.
Yeah,
stop
right.
The fear. Believe only, you will be made whole.
It is impossible to walk in faith and fear at the same time.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I was preaching, and this many years ago, on that from the 8th chapter of the book of Luke, and where he said, fear not, believe only, she'll be made whole.
Yeah.
And it just came out of my mouth. I just prophetically, fear tolerated is faith contaminated.
Good.
It'll weaken you. It'll weaken your faith.
Can't walk into those two things at one time.
Not at the same time.
Mm-mm.
Well, how do I get rid of it? You don't.
All right, you brought it up.
I brought it up. I'm a 1 John 4:16 says perfected or developed love casteth out fear. Faith worketh by love. So love filled faith casts out fear. You're the one that has to wield the sword, but you're not the one that has to do it. It's the power of the love of God and the power of the faith of Jesus and the power in his mighty name, faith in that name. Whoa, I'm telling you, it'll stop fear in its tracks. You may be standing there with your knees knocking and you're still saying like Kelly did that night when they told her Lindsay wasn't going to live through the night. She said, Daddy, it came down on me like a black, dark shroud, and it was fearsome and heavy. She walked over to her sister, looked her in the face and said, I refuse to fear. And the moment she said it, she said, Daddy, that thing was so weak. She said it just left like a bird flying out of the room. And Lindsay was healed before daylight.
Still going strong.
Still going strong. Amen.
Amen.
I just married her and her husband just a few months ago. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Glory to God.
The word is a marvelous
thing. Oh, it's a marvelous
thing.
Now then, glory to God. My son, attend to my words.
Yeah.
Put it first place. Put it final authority. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Why? Because Romans 10:17, faith cometh.
Yeah.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Faith cometh. Well, now you see, Brother Copeland, that's my trouble. I just don't have any faith. Well, the answer to that is to get born again. Oh, I am born again. Yeah, I mean, well, then you have faith. Faith is not detected by feelings. Faith is a spiritual force. If you're born again, that's the way you got born again. Amen. Romans, the second chapter. We are saved by grace through faith. Amen. It's been there all the time. So put a big smile on you, say faith. I have faith, and I say it's strong. Glory to God. Amen. Now then.
Now read, before you get away from that, in the light of what you just said, read verse 20 and through 23, Proverbs 4.
Yeah. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the life of God in His Word, isn't
it? That's right.
They're life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, that Hebrew word over in my cross reference says medicine.
Medicine.
Now, this is what Gloria was talking about. Take your medicine.
That's right.
And she said, your prescription's sitting there next to the bed, and you go back to the doctor, and you haven't improved a bit. Did you have that prescription filled I gave you? Oh yeah, it's sitting right there next to my bed.
That's right.
Have you been taking it? Well, no, I pick it up and read it every night. You can have your Bible laying there, too, and just die sick.
Yeah.
You can have your Bible lay there and die unsaved.
Die dead.
Yeah. Right. Because not appropriating by faith. Yeah. Now, that 23rd verse.
This is how you do it right here.
Keep your heart with all diligence. Diligence has to be played in here. In other words, you do it every day.
That's right.
You have to do it every day.
That's right.
Out of it, out of your heart, out of your spirit, man, the born-again part of you, out of that, out of your born-again spirit come the forces of life.
Yes.
The life force is in there. The life force of God is in there.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So protect it. Don't feed a bunch of trash in there. Don't feed a bunch of unbelief and fear. Don't feed yourself fear. Let me say something more about fear. The unborn again spirit, in every human being that's not born again, is a fountain of fear, because fear was what was originally Adam's faith, and when he committed high treason towards God, everything about him went 180 degrees the other way. So his faith became fear. Now, when you got born again, it went back the other way. You were made a new creation, a new creature. Say, I am a new creature.
I am a new creature.
In Christ.
In Christ.
Old things have become new. Old things passed away.
Old things have passed away.
All things have become new.
All things have become new.
And all things are of God.
And all things are of God.
Now that's what happened to you when you got born again.
Now if you don't think that makes a difference, you're just mistaken.
Oh. Woo, yes.
Yeah, everything changes.
Everything.
Yeah.
Now, out of your spirit, there's a fountain of faith. So how do you get fear in there? With this weapon right here. That thing. You start talking fear. Well, don't that just thrill you to death? Whoa, are you going down there tomorrow? I'm afraid not. What's going to happen? Well, I'm afraid so. Using fear and death to express yourself.
Or something like, nothing ever works out for me.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean.
There's just so many things like that people say.
You know, I guess I'll just go on home if a train don't hit me. That's stupid.
Yeah, it is.
Well, now, Brother
Dangerous. Copeland,
I didn't mean anything by it. Yeah, tell the devil that. He's a legalist. He'll whip you with a dictionary. He'll accuse you before God and make it stick.
If you believe it.
I'm telling you. But you can stop all that.
Yeah.
How? Quit what you've been saying.
Put the word in your mouth.
Put the word in your mouth. Put it in your eyes and your ears and your mouth. Hey, just what he said here. And protect your heart with all diligence. For out of your spirit man come the very forces of life.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
Now, let's go over to the book of Acts. And let's look at a perfect example of this. 14th chapter of the book of Acts. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, they abode speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews and their rulers, to use them despitefully, and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there, now notice the seventh verse, there they preached the gospel. Now remember, Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing,
yes,
and hearing by the word of God. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak. What did he hear him speak? The gospel. Well, now, we don't know. The Holy Spirit didn't see fit to give us the message that he preached. But I can tell you pretty close, because I know what he wrote.
And we know it was good news because it was the gospel.
And it was healing news.
Yeah.
It was miracle news. I expect he's teaching that we've been redeemed from the curse. That's what he wrote to the church of Philippi. He's teaching the power in the name of Jesus.
That Jesus bore the curse, because they knew what the curse was.
And so he's preaching what he's written. Amen. Now listen. The same heard. Let me put it like this. The same heard Paul preach the gospel, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Now, where did the faith came from? So faith cometh by hearing, mm-hmm. and hearing by the word of God. So he had to be preaching faith. He had to be preaching healing. He had to be preaching miracles for the man to have faith in it.
Sure.
He had to hear it to have faith in it. And he believed it.
He took it.
And and by the Spirit of God, now that was a word of knowledge. See, he perceived, the gift of the word of knowledge operating here, he perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Steadfastly beholding him. Boy, I've had this happen to me right in the middle of a service. The Lord will just point somebody out to you. I've seen this at times. I'll be preaching, and I move all over the place when I'm preaching, and I'll spot somebody there. But as I go, my eye just keeps falling on that person, and when that happens, I begin to see that there's something going on there, and sure enough, more times than not, the Lord will have something to say, or it'll be, it's the Spirit of God leading me to that person. Well, that's what happened here. Now, notice how it happened. And the Apostle Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he leaped and walked. That's the first time the man ever stood up on his feet.
You know,
much less leaped and walked.
Knowing how those words of knowledge work. That man jumped on his feet before he knew anything.
Yeah, he didn't have time to say, I can't. Can't you see I can't walk? What would have happened if he did?
He wouldn't have done
it. He wouldn't have gotten it.
No.
But now, hey, what I wanted you to see, nobody laid hands on that man.
No.
Nobody.
That's right.
Nobody touched him. It was his own faith
that came by
hearing, and hearing by the word.
That's right. That's a good point.
And he took it. He just jumped and obeyed. Glory.
He was ready.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. There's something else that happens. I've noticed this, where you can see it in people's eyes. I'll be moving around, and particularly the bunch that usually sits on the front row, because sometimes those front row seats are not easy to get, they're down there, and the ones on the front row are usually
serious.
They're serious, and they came to get it. But I've watched them before, I don't know how to explain it, but when I'm operating in the Spirit and they step over there in the Spirit, there's something that
connects.
Yeah, and sometimes it's kind of a glow that comes. And the Apostle Paul saw that on that man, and he knew he was ready to run, brother. So he said it, and up he got. Now, remember, they came to hear him and be healed. Isn't that good? Luke chapter 5.
Look at where he got that. It's so plain here. It said he being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked the same herd.
Yeah.
Paul speak. He heard him and it brought faith. And he jumped up and took it.
Yeah, he heard.
Yeah.
He could have sat there the whole time and never heard anything.
Thought about tomorrow's lunch.
Yeah, and the fact that he can't walk.
Yeah. Or he could have. People just get in unbelief and they say, oh, well, yeah, right. I've been this way for 10 years and all my life or whatever. There's nothing to that. Well, what would have happened? Nothing.
Well, if he'd sit there and heard what he's preaching there and he thought, well, he don't know me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've never walked.
Yeah, he doesn't know.
I've never walked. But just sit there in his mind.
I'll tell you one thing that happened. He spoke in a loud voice to that man, and that man was on his feet before he had time to think about it.
Well, now you go back.
Because it was power, it was anointed, and boom.
We go back to the law of attention.
Yeah.
That you talked about yesterday, mentioned it the day before, from Proverbs chapter 4. Mm-hmm. Attend to my word. This guy was like this. Man, he was hung on every word. I mean, lightning could have struck outside and he never would have known it. He's just locked in there. I remember, Gloria, back when we first went to Oral Roberts University, we first went to Tulsa, that I was acquainted with total immersion. I was very interested in languages
and
languages. Especially Spanish. Mm-hmm. And during World War II, there was a language school in Monterey, California, and they needed translators, and they needed to train people because they didn't know who they could trust during the war. And they had in that school, you weren't allowed to speak English at all. Mm. And within 4, 5, 6, 8 weeks, you were fluent, and then and you made a translator out of you in a year.
My goodness.
Total immersion.
Yeah.
Father, we thank you today, Lord, for your word. We thank you for sending Jesus to be our Savior and our healer, our baptizer with the Holy Spirit, and our soon coming King. Glory to God. And we thank you and praise you with all of our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Now then, we are here, as we said earlier, in Southwest Arkansas. Gloria was born just 2 miles up the road here. And not long after we were married, her granddad and grandmama gave us 4 acres right around here. And then the kids were just little guys. And I was telling some of the guys yesterday, my mom and dad came up, and we were so thrilled. And I was just standing back over there. Of course, the house wasn't here. Standing back over there where the big sweet gum tree is. Now, just standing there praising the Lord. Little old dry creek bed coming down through here. And I was just praising the Lord and just worshiping Him. And I heard the Lord say, "That's a pond." Well, it didn't look like any pond to me. I said, "Sir?" He said, "That's a pond." He said, "You see that tree over there? It's still over there in the corner." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he described it and pointed it out to me. There's 2 trees standing over there again. And he said, if you will build a levee from there over to here," and he pointed out another spot there, "that's a pond." Well, then I could see it. Of course, that little creek coming down through there. I said, "Yeah, that's a pond." So I asked Gloria's granddad. I said, "Pop, what would you have to do to?" And I mentioned to him, "If you build a dam across there and so forth." "Yeah," he said, "that'll work." And I said, "Well, who do you get to do something like that?" He said, "Well, I'll call the county and check it out." They had a water conservation plan going on.
As the Lord would have it.
Yeah, of course. And they said, we'll dig the whole thing and build the dam and everything for $600. Oh, come on. Okay.
Where could you get a swimming pool for $600?
No, you can't. Hallelujah. You got that beautiful pond. It's just the Lord. And He's just done wonderful things like this. And of course, I'm sure they've already shown you the shape this house was in. It was across the road over here and down a ways. And it was on her granddad's land over there. And it's just been said the thing is, I think they said it was 105 years old, something like that, when we got it. And he said, just move it over across the road. So the first guy came out and looked at it, and he said, "Copeland, you know what I'd do?" I said, "What's that?" He said, "Let her sit." So we checked around, and I called Mr. Wooten. I'll never forget it. He came out there and looked at it, and I said, "Mr. Wooten, what do you think?" I said, "Do you think we can move that?" He said, "Kenneth, I can move anything." And he laughed, and he said, it'll work. And he said, "I'll move it right over there and set her down for you right where it belongs." And it was Mr. Wooten that moved that log house when it was a piece of junk in here. Praise the Lord. Now, the other log house, it was in good shape when it moved, and then it didn't have to do much to it. But
they were both antique logs. I mean, old logs.
Oh, yeah,
they were
old,
both antique
old.
Houses.
Ain't nothing modern about either one of them. And Faith Girl over here, "Believe in God for a log cabin. I want a log cabin." Good. We need a log cabin. That it'll look nice out here. So we're at a log cabin. Yeah, okay. Log cabin this and log cabin that. Yeah, okay. So we're driving toward town one day. She said, "Stop! Okay. Then I pulled off. I said, what is it? She said, I wanna go look at that
old house.
Oh. Oh. She said, I think that's a log cabin. I said, Glory, that ain't no log cabin. You can, you know, there ain't a log there. You can see it from here. The thing laid down over on its side, and there'd been a kitchen built on the back of it. It fell off. And it's just laying out there. Oh, it is awful looking. She said, I'm going out there and look at it. I said, okay. And so we crawled through the fence and walked out there. And it had, somebody had covered it with shiplap. It just looked like an old, broken down old house.
Wonder why.
And she pulled up the edge of that shiplap. She said, see here? It was logs, man. And that was way over,
big logs.
Way over 100 years. And I said, glory to God. All right. And we went and talked to the people that owned it, and it had been in their family for years and years, but she said, yeah, I will. She said, I'll sell it to you kids for $500. And called Mr. Wooten. He hauled it out there and set it up, and now you see the pictures of it, and it's a great blessing. The Lord has a blessing for you like that. But see, Gloria believed God, exercised her faith. So she's seeing that thing on the inside. There's no telling how many times we drove by that thing, never looked at it. But the Spirit of God knew that as logs.
Yeah, he did.
Huh? Amen. Amen. Now then, let's go back. Proverbs 4. My son, verse 20, this is God's prescription for healing. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they, my words, are life. Cross-reference says medicine unto those that find them, and health, to all their flesh, their life, their medicine, their health, to your flesh. They'll heal your flesh. You can get on that, those few verses of scripture right there, and do what verse 23 says, keep your heart, protect your heart. Don't let a bunch of junk get in there. And just lock in on the word.
On the scripture.
Healing words. We've already talked about Luke chapter 5. They went to hear and to be healed. Yeah. The hearing came first because Jesus' preaching brought faith.
Now look at verse 24 is the key to success, though. That's the key to success.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Put away from you a froward
or
a disobedient mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Don't let your mouth be disobedient. Put the words of your mouth should be the word of God about every situation and everything. Amen.
That's right.
Possession of the word. Confession of the word brings possession of what you're saying.
And the New Testament makes it so plain. You put it in your eyes, put it in your ears, put it in your heart, and say it out your mouth. You got to say it out your mouth.
Yeah.
And that's the way it all
some
works.
Some very close friends of ours. But they were not a part of the word of faith. And they had invited me. Well, it's John and Carol Arnott in Toronto. The church where the great
blessing.
Outpouring of the Toronto blessing. Whoa. I'm telling you, here's people that knew a whole lot more about praising the glory down than we did. Well, we majored on faith. They majored in the glory. See, God has yeah. specialists. You don't want a general practitioner doing a lung transplant on you.
That's right.
And, I mean, you have specialists. This is faith is what we were called to specialize in. And back there years ago, people jump on me and say, you don't preach the whole counsel of God. Well, the first thing, I don't know the whole counsel of God. I know what he's called me to do, and I'm not going to jump the traces and get off out here trying to get over into somebody else's calling.
Yeah.
But, oh, and I wanted, man, I was so eager. I met John and Carol Arnott in Rome when we went to see
the Pope.
Pope Francis that time. And I fell in love with them. And so they said, you've got to come preach faith to us. So I did. And Carol said, you know, I see it. She was telling, I believe it was Kelly. She was telling either Kelly or Terry. She said, I see it. She said, we had the believing part. We didn't have the saying part. And I see where we had the believing and saying part, but we didn't have the praise and worship part. We was praising and worshiping, but not on a level that these people were and are. Oh, you know what, Gloria? The streams are coming together, turning into
rivers.
Making
a river, yeah, that's right. Praise God.
Glory to God, hallelujah.
And a stream, we got streams around here. They just kind of rock along, going down through the rocks. But a river, it'll take your house down if it gets out of its boundaries. Praise God.
Praise God. Now then, believe the word. How do you do that? I remember then that, and back then I didn't know this, but the Lord led me in this direction, and it just marked my memory. This is before we went to Tulsa. Now, we were born again and baptized in the Holy Ghost, but we didn't know how to use faith on purpose. I didn't know you could. And I had driven Gloria to the cleaners, and she had gone in. I had all every flu symptom. My eyes were aching, and I'm sitting out there in the car waiting for her, and I'm thinking, you know, I believe she's going to have to drive home. I'm so sick. And I had my Bible laying open here to 1 Peter 2:24. And himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Yeah.
And I had read that, and I was, oh Lord, thank you. You know, I didn't know. Now look how the Lord led me. I picked up my Bible and I read, by his stripes ye were healed. I held my Bible up like this and put my finger on it. I said, Lord, I choose to believe this. I choose to believe. See, your born again spirit knows how to believe. But you're going to have to put it in motion. Amen? Yeah. So I choose to believe. The moment you choose to believe and you say that with your mouth, you have released faith where that verse is concerned. Let that word work by putting it in your mouth. Amen. So I noticed by the time she got back out the car, I was feeling a little better. I thought, well, I believe I'm gonna go ahead and drive home. And so I drove home, and by the time we got home, I felt like eating a little something. And so I sat down at the table, and by the time we got through supper, I was feeling pretty good, and went on to bed and slept good. Got up the next morning, every symptom.
Praise God.
And I really didn't know much. I just made a choice. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go over to Mark 11:22.
Did you make a choice and say it?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Now, like I said, the Spirit of God was just leading me in that direction. I really didn't. understand what was happening. But I've looked at that in all these years later, and I was thinking, glory to God, that's exactly what he was leading me to do. Now, Jesus said in Mark 11:22, Jesus answering saith, and now they came by there and saw that fig tree dried up. You remember the situation? Well, let's read verse 20. In the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now, Jesus said, no man eat fruit of you again forever. And Peter, calling remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. The cross reference says, or have the faith of God, or have the God kind of faith. Now, what he's doing here, he is revealing to you and to me and for all who care to know how faith works. It's the faith of God. Yeah, but Brother Copeland, that's the faith of God. I know it. And he said, have it. Now, when you got born again, the faith of God was put in you. That's the way you got born again. You were saved by grace through faith. And, for verily I say unto you, whosoever. So, whosoever can use the faith of God.
Whosoever meaneth me.
Yeah, it meaneth me too. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. Now listen, here's what you're supposed to believe. But believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. That's what you believe. You believe that those things which you say, those words which you say will come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, or whatsoever he says. Now, remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's the key to it. Well, Brother Copeland, you know, God always answers. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, wait a while. Really? Where'd you get that? Chapter and verse, if you please. Well, I know that's kind of what happened to me. Well, see, that's not good enough.
No.
The promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes and amen. Nowhere, not in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or anywhere in the book of Acts, did any of the apostles or anybody else that's in the book of Acts ever tell anybody, you'll have to wait. It isn't in there. It isn't in there. The key to it, get the promise. That's the reason that promise book is so important. All those scriptures in four different translations, healing scriptures. Go to that book. It'll send you to the Bible. Get your Bible and mark all of those healing scriptures. Glory to God. Mark them. Look at them. Read them. Sit down and write them out longhand, that whole verse. Write that whole, you ought to write Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and 25. You ought to write them out longhand. Get you a notebook and write them out long. Well, you see, I'd rather, no, don't type it. Write it in longhand. Look at it as you write it. You remember it more strongly when you write it and look at it and write it and look at it. Amen. Then it gets in your spirit and it'll get in your mouth. But that's the guarantee. Let the word fight its own fight. The word is the answer to your prayer. Can you see that? either a promise or a Bible fact. Oh, glory.
Praise God.
It just looks so clear and so plain. It's not something he's going to do. It's already done. This is where the twist comes in, and people have a hard time with it. It's not a hard thing. It's right there in Mark 11:23-24. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father in also in, which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. That's critical.
Yeah.
Check it out. Check Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the only thing Jesus specifically called out as a hindrance to faith is unforgiveness.
Praise God.
That's the way you believe word. Glory,
praise
and I'll
God.
Be back in just a moment.
A life of total health is available to you. Do you know how to access it? With the Healing Promises book by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, you can discover how to tap into God's healing power to overcome any sickness or disease. Kenneth and Gloria have compiled scripture after scripture of God's healing promises to you, each one shown in four different translations: the King James Version, Amplified Bible Classic Edition, James Moffat Translation, and the New English Bible. Use it like a medicine cabinet and take your scripture daily. Healing is a promise to people of all ages. It's God's will for you to be healed right now. Make it your personal project to be well. Handwrite the verses out. Get them in your heart and speak them over yourself. Take God at His word. See yourself through the eyes of faith, healed and whole and strong. Healing Promises, a hands-on healing resource manual to help you live in divine health through the power of God's word.
Discover how to tap into God's healing power. Request your free copy of Healing Promises from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. This hands-on healing manual gives practical application of God's Word for healing. Go to kcm.org/tvspecial or call 800-600-7395. Offer good for 60 days. If you're outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information.
Now I want you to listen to this verse. This is Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or that Jesus is Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let me say it like this. Thou shalt be saved, healed, delivered. Because the Greek word translated salvation literally means that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, healing, and deliverance. But now, as we said earlier, you have to appropriate that. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or if you say, Brother Copeland, I think I have, but if I died right now, I'm not really sure what would happen to me. Well, you can be sure. You need to be sure. Glory to God.
Praise
so,
God.
How do you appropriate that? Well, he says right there, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession made unto salvation. Oh, Copeland, that's too easy. Sweetheart, there wasn't anything easy about that.
No.
There was nothing easy. Jesus went to hell so you don't have to go. Amen. But he did everything to make it as easy as he can get it. That's what grace did. Why? The only thing he couldn't do is pray your and my prayer. You had to make that choice. I made that choice. November the 2nd, 1962. Gloria made that choice. Everything changed. Yes.
Mm, praise God.
So, Gloria and I are going to lead you in prayer. Pray it out loud if you're in a place where you can. Pray it out loud enough you can hear it with your own ears. Oh God in heaven. I believe with all my heart. That you raised Jesus from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Take my life. And do something with it. I repent of sin. I renounce the past. Today is the beginning of my future. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Fill me now, please. With your precious Holy Spirit. I receive you, Holy Spirit. I fully expect to speak with other tongues. Just like on the day of Pentecost. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
If
you've prayed that prayer with us and you meant it with all your heart, you just got born again.
Praise God.
Now, hallelujah. Gloria and I want to send this to you free and postpaid. He did it all for you. Get you started reading and studying your Bible. Amen. And you can get just as wild as all the rest of us. We just love you so much. Let us know. KCM.org.
From the beginning of owning their Arkansas land, the Lord has provided for and guided the development of the property. As a wedding present, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland received 4 acres of beautiful farmland in Arkansas from her grandfather, Pop. It was covered mostly with trees, but it was all their own, and they praised God for it. Soon it would grow to be a special place of rest that the whole family would enjoy, their happy laughing place. The first thing the Lord told them to do was to create a pond where they could fish and sit out by the water. After using the land as their personal campground, they knew they wanted a house. They began to pray and seek the Lord about a home for the land. They found a house that was just right. It was over 100 years old and had been the home of one of Gloria's childhood friends. They were able to have it moved to their property, and Gloria oversaw the renovations. Gloria knew the next project for their property would be adding a genuine log cabin. She had always wanted one, and for years dreamed about having one on the land. They could have more people come and enjoy this place of rest. After believing and praying for this dream to be a reality, the perfect cabin was found. It was an old abandoned log house that was also over 100 years old. It had a dog trot through the middle, a large living area and bedroom, and even a loft where grandkids could stay. But the dream wasn't finished, and eventually a smaller second log cabin was found and placed next to the first. Both cabins have their original axe-hewn logs and have been a blessing to the Copeland family for many years. Since her grandparents first owned it, the Arkansas property has remained a place for multiple generations of the family to enjoy. From just a peach orchard to a prayer cabin and family retreat, the property has been a dream that God made a reality. To this day, it is a place of revelation, and also where special Believer's Voice of Victory broadcasts capture that revelation from God through the Copeland's hearts and take it all over the world, from the top to the bottom and all the way around.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 6, let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him or respond unto him that teaches in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now today, I want us to go over to the book of Philippians chapter 4. I want you to look here with me. Verse 17, the Apostle Paul said, well, let's read down in that. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, or nobody responded to me. Mm. Even in Thessalonica, you sent once again unto my necessity. Now, listen to this. Not because I desire a gift. I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now, part of the laws that govern increase are the fact that you have a heavenly account. In fact, you can go to kcm.org/notes and you can get Brother George's Pastor George Pearson and Gloria when they're teaching on the laws of prosperity, all of the scriptures that have to do with your heavenly account. But you have to have notice of this, that what you do on this earth is laid up in heaven. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to reveal right now to the people what their part of the finances of this television broadcast and this ministry are.
Thank you, Father.
And you just be like Jesus' mother said to him, said to the people there, whatever he says to you, do, do it. That's not hard. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. And we receive your offering,
yes,
and we pray over it, and we're very sincere about it. We believe our partners for 30, 60, and 100-fold. Praise God.
Praise
Go
God.
To church this weekend. Join us again Monday. We're going to be right here at our prayer cabin, and we're going to get right into it again, and we'll see you then. Until then, Kenneth and Gloria reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.
We're created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. We have the God-given ability to think like Him, talk like Him, see like Him, hear like Him, and get His results.
The atmosphere is miraculous.
The power of God has been tangible. You just can't stand still.
Being in an atmosphere of faith, all these believers coming together, something like it.
See you at the Southwest Believers Convention, July 30th through August 4th.
Every seat in Kenneth Copeland Bible College has a story, a legacy. Who will you be?
Because from now on, you're going to come to that hill and you're going to throw her back down in a low gear and you're going to say, we're going up this mountain, glory to God, and we're going to the top. And you get to the top and you'll say, I wonder why I hadn't done this before. It is so wonderful. Where's the next mountain? I'm ready to climb. And in this climate, saith the Lord, you are being surrounded by the moving of the Spirit.
We have a seat for you. Apply now at kcbiblecollege.org and revive your faith. Discover your call.